Thank you, guys. Let's take our Bible tonight, and we want to turn in probably the book of the Bible. It's everybody's first choice if they just want to do some leisure reading through the Bible. So turn with me tonight to the book of Leviticus, if you would. Leviticus chapter number 6. And I am sure you are like me. When I just want to do some reading, this is where I always go. And so Leviticus chapter number 6. Believe it or not, there's a lot of wonderful truths in Leviticus chapter number 6. Not just 6, but in Leviticus, but I joke with that. But we want to start there, Leviticus chapter 6. We've been in this series on church health, and I think it's been a help to us. Hopefully, just if we just keep the mindset that no matter who you are, you're just as much a part of this church as anybody else. Amen. This is God's church, saved, baptized, identify, you're in the church, you're serving. God established the church through His Son. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the head of the church. And if I'm part of that, I want to do everything I can to contribute to His church, contribute to His work. And so each member has a part in that, and each member has a responsibility to keep the church healthy as possible. The pastor has a great responsibility in his leadership, but it's not just on the pastor. If only the pastor is concerned about the health of the church, it can't be a very healthy church. It takes the church wanting the church to be healthy. It's not the message tonight, but church bodies, much of the time, determine how good of a pastor they have. And that's another message for another time. Because the church, it's our responsibility to make sure the church is healthy. So tonight, we look at another aspect of this, Leviticus chapter number 6. And this chapter is dealing with the offering, with the priest. And we're not going to review a lot of that, but there's something that I want to bring from this passage. Let's just go ahead and go to verse number 12. And as they've talked about the altar and the priest, and now we come to verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. Now this has great significance in the context of Leviticus chapter number 6, we want to use it for the significance it has for us today as well. And I want to teach tonight on keeping the fire on the altar. Keeping the fire on the altar. In the book of Leviticus, God gives instructions for the altar. But there had to be a fire on the altar. And if I can say it like this, there's a lot of churches or a lot of altars, but if they don't have the fire on the altar, they're missing that key ingredient, and so we want to keep the fire on the altar. Father, help us tonight as we look into your word. May we take these truths. They'll be very practical. May we apply them. May it help us tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, a healthy church keeps a spiritual passion burning. God is an orderly God. Do you believe that? He's an orderly God because He tells us He is. But He's an orderly God because if you study Scripture, you can tell He is an orderly God. There is an order to things. He's not a God of chaos. So there should be order. There should be structure. There should be all of those things. But with that, there has to come some kind of a spiritual, if I can use the word passion, desire, something that burns, that fire within us. There's got to be that. And when that fire goes out and we don't have it, there's churches today, they have the structure, they check all the doctrinal boxes. And some of you travel and you've been to them, it's like you look at their website, they're just like us, and not being critical, but when you go there, it's like it doesn't feel like us. I mean, they have the same doctrine, they have even the same hymn books, they have the same, they even it's because they don't have a Thursday night service, that's the problem. But they have all of these things, but there's something missing in the spirit. There's something missing there's something there in the complacency. So that can happen to any church. And I would submit to you, there's a lot of churches like that today that have not always been that way. They had the fire. They had the passion. Things were happening. You could feel it when you came on the property and God was just doing something. But that healthy church keeps that burning. So we want to talk about this. There's a danger for a church that's healthy that usually goes unnoticed, and it's what I'm teaching on tonight. Because what gets our attention? There are some problems in a church when they arise, and let's just say, you mean churches have problems? I mean, are people in churches? I mean, I'm looking around, and some of you, you didn't leave your problems out in the parking lot. You brought them in here with you. You're the one that said I do, not me. So, I mean, you have your problems. No, we all have problems. So when there's people involved, there's going to be problems. There's going to be friction. And we are on guard and should be on guard for that friction. If there's division, I've taught you on this, and I'll say it again. I mean, the pastor's looking, and he does not want division. And if there's division, why is there division? But you should be looking for that division. And when I say that, some of you are going to say, I am. I'm causing it. I'm looking for the place. That's not what I'm talking about. If there's a conflict, you ought to want to squelch it. You ought to want to have a part in, no, we're not doing that. We don't do that here. We don't talk about that here. We forgive here. We offer grace and mercy. But if there's division, boy, there's an alarm going off. Are you with me? There's conflict. There's alarm going off. Well, there's all those things that get our attention. If people want to rise up against leadership, doesn't that get our attention? Something's got to happen. We can't be like this. If there's some who say, we want to go a different... No, that gets our attention. And so we're on guard for that, and we should be. Let me say, if you're not on guard for that, you should be on guard for that. That doesn't mean you walk around with a magnifying glass suspicious of everybody. But when something arises, and this is the best way to do it, we put it out before it becomes something. Or we don't participate in something and it doesn't ever happen. That's not the Bible study tonight. But those things get our attention. Are you with me? But there's one problem, and it's what we're looking at tonight, that is far more dangerous because it doesn't scream for your attention. If there's two church members that are mad at each other, and they're not speaking to each other, people know that. Because those two church members have friends. They have people that they interact with. You can feel it. And there's something there. This is far more quiet than that. Sometimes we don't notice it. It's a church losing their spiritual fire. There's no implosion that you see. There's no headline. And there's really not even a dramatic moment when this takes place. It's just the fire goes out. That spiritual fire that was once there, it's just not there anymore. I mean, the building's still there. Some of the same people are still there. The pastor can even still be there. But there's just something different. It's not like it used to be. There's no great conflict. But what happened? Because it was quiet and there was negligence and we didn't pay attention, that fire went out. What is that? That's cold prayers. So what do you mean by that? They're really become no more than Catholic prayers. Pray for so-and-so. God, I'm praying for so-and-so. You might as well not pray for so-and-so. It's, remember, warm prayers when people would come to the altar and that burning or that conviction, those tears. I mean, I believe in a prayer list, and I think, you know, I've taught you should have a prayer list because we cannot trust our minds. But you got to even be careful with the prayer list. When you're praying for those away from God, you're praying for lost souls. If you can do that time after time after time after time again, and you never shed a tear, warm prayers have become cold prayers. Empty altars. You say, well, this is the preaching. Well, the fire can go out in the preacher. And if the fire's out in the preacher, there's no, I mean, there's some say, they're not faithful to church. I'm like, I've heard the guy preach. They're probably doing better watching our live stream anyway. Anyway, that's not in the notes. That just came out. But you get the point I'm making. But if the preacher's got a fire in him, and the congregation don't have no fire, you know, the fire's out. There's empty altars. Routine worship. Routine church. We have a structured order of service. It's right here. Now, from time to time, I'll say change this and change this, but we don't vary from this unless I say vary from this, and that's not, if I did it every week, it wouldn't be no point in having an order of service. But I don't think we have routine church. We're going to sing these hymns, we're going to do this, but those hymns, there ought to be some fire, there ought to be something there that we feel. There's a warmth of the greetings with the, from the ushers all the way in, depending on who the ushers are. You know, there's that warmth. There's the fellowship. You know what I'm talking about. It's the same week in and week out, and there's security in that, but there's got to be that fire and that passion. It doesn't just become routine. I have to go to church. And our flesh doesn't always want to get out of bed on Sunday morning, doesn't always want to come to midweek service after a long day of work, but we come because there's something worth coming for. It's not just routine. Mechanical ministry. I praise God for faithful people who fill their place of service for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. Ministries and churches have to have that. But the danger is it just becomes what you've always done. And you lose sight of why you first started keeping the nursery, why you first joined the bus ministry, why you first became an usher, why you first let the pastor talk you into teaching the Sunday school. Hey, I praise God. And those of you that have been doing this for decades, I'm not here to discourage you. I'm here to tell you, keep doing it. As long as you're able, do it. But be careful. Don't let it become mechanical. There ought to still be that fire in there that says, I got the opportunity to see somebody get saved today. I got the opportunity to have a part in something. Somebody can be grumpy, and if I put a smile on their face, they're going to hear the pastor better when he gets up and preaches. And we can look at that as not just mechanical. Well, here we go again. I got my 30-year patch. Now, praise God, I'm not minimizing that. But it can't become mechanical. And by the way, I don't think I'm in any danger of becoming mechanical. I hope, but I think you can still feel the passion and what I wanted to want, you know, preaching the Word of God. But there's a danger to that for me, just like there is for you. Empty enthusiasm. And slowly the flame begins to die. See, a church can still have services, can still have schedules. There's a lot of churches, and they may have cut Hebrews 10:25 out of their Bible, but they cancel their Sunday night services. And if they're gonna, and say, well, Pastor, isn't that horrible? It's like, no, I've seen those churches. They should cancel their Sunday morning too. We shouldn't have that, and that shouldn't happen, and we need to, bless God, we're keeping our Sunday night service and our midweek service, we're keeping that. But is the fire gone? Is it mechanical? Is it dead? Sing those hymns, but you feel nothing. There's no spirit. The pastor gets up with the living Word, and it sounds dead. That's not the problem with the living Word. There's a fire. There's a passion. There's something that's missing. You can have your services, your schedules. You can have the outline messages. You can have the same songs. But if you don't have fire, when the fire goes out, the power goes out. So we have to work at keeping the fire on the altar. Now, I've taken my time to help us see the importance of that by way of introduction. I've got several truths that I think are going to help us tonight. I'm going to say, number one, a healthy church guards the fire daily. Notice verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. It shall not be put out. So every day he's got to guard the fire. And there's times in the period of the children of Israel where they let the fire go out. But all they had to do was guard that fire. It's like if you let that fire go out, and that represents the power of God, the presence of God, you would think that that would have the utmost priority and utmost care. But it's that routine. Oh, I'm not letting the fire go out. Not letting the fire go out. It just becomes a routine thing. In the one moment, if we're not careful, it can go out. See, God gave Israel one non-negotiable command: don't let the fire die. So if you're not supposed to let the fire die, it's not a weekly thing you do. It's not a monthly, but it's a daily thing. Every morning the priest had a job. He was to remove the ashes. He was to add wood. He was to stir the coals. He was to keep it burning. There's an obvious principle there that fire naturally dies unless it's intentionally fed. The same is true spiritually. If you don't pray daily, if you're not in your Bible daily, if you're not confessing your sins daily, if you're not spending time praising God daily, if you're not serving Him, you're not looking for Him, you're not seeking His will, seeking His kingdom, then that fire inside of you can die. There's a lot of people say, well, the church has changed. Sometimes churches change. This church has not changed. There's still a fire here. There's still a passion here. There's still a spirit here. So if your fire may have gone out, but the church's fire hasn't gone out. If you're not careful, say, what happened to so-and-so? They served for 20 years, and then all of a sudden, simply put, fire went out. Before they got bitter, they let the fire go out. The same pastor who they used to hang on every word he said. They were the first at the altar. Tears would come down their eyes. They would text, that's exactly what I needed, exactly what my family needed. They would testify. Now that all of a sudden that same pastor, those words don't land the way they used to. And if he has not changed, could it be because the fire went out? You know, you think back to COVID. One of the symptoms of those that got COVID was some would lose their smell, some would lose their taste. Now, that never happened to me, but it happened to others. But just because some lost their taste doesn't mean the food didn't have taste anymore. It just meant that there was a sickness that masked the fact that this still tastes, and I hope I wasn't cruel. They're like, I can't taste this. Like, it tastes pretty good to me. Tastes the same. Put some more of that hot sauce on there. You'll thank me later. I mean, it tastes good. Still had a taste. The Word of God still has power. Preaching is still the method. Maybe your fire's going out. So we have a responsibility to daily. A healthy church guards the fire daily. You say, well, is the fire down at the church lit? Well, is the fire in your home lit? Because remember, one thing that we're looking at is we always like to say, well, the church isn't the building, it's the people. And I agree with that. So if the fire's got to stay lit in the church, they're not talking about the building. It comes in with everybody. It's the Spirit that comes in with everybody. The Spirit wasn't here. God is not dwelling here. And it's an old term called the sanctuary. I don't call it the sanctuary. God's not dwelling here. God's dwelling here. I don't have to go down here to come down here to pray. You get the point I'm making. So if the fire is in us, when we all come and get together, guess where the fire is? So a healthy church guards the fire daily. The fire doesn't stay, it's not going to stay the same. It will fade. That's why you need to be in church. I'm glad we have live stream, and there's some, they're shut in. They can't get out, and I'm glad we have live stream for that. There's some in other states that watch. They don't have a church like the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm thankful for that. We're going to keep doing that, try and expand that even. But if you can be in church, you should be in church. If nothing else, because when your flame gets around the other flames, it becomes a bigger flame. Number two, a healthy church understands where the fire comes from. If we were to turn to Leviticus 9, you can mark that chapter down. I encourage you to read it later. We're going to take the time. But God lit the original fire himself, we see. It came from heaven. The priest didn't start it. The people didn't start it. They only maintained it. This is what is so important. That fire has got to come from God. If you are born again, the Spirit of God quickened your soul. You were dead in your sins. He made you alive. So He's dwelling within you. And so you're born again. He's in you. He's inside of you. That came from God. It didn't come from a religious experience. It had to come from Him. In a church, if a church is on fire and that fire is lit, it's because that comes from God. You cannot manufacture spiritual fire. You cannot. That's what you see today in all these churches going a different direction. You cannot manufacture spiritual fire with hype, noise. Well, the louder we are, then the more fire we got. No, not necessarily. You don't have to hype God up. And this is so full. This is what is happening because the person who stands here, they start questioning that book right there, even saying maybe it's not even God's word or whichever one, it doesn't matter. It's because there's not a fire in here. Either they never had it or it is gone. And so they don't have it, so they can't get anything from the congregation. So let's hype the congregation so we can all say when we left, wasn't that on fire? Didn't God? No, God didn't meet with you. You went to a glorified pep rally. See, Pastor, I just don't believe that. Oh, next time you go to a ball game and that band starts playing, you will catch yourself, even if you hate the other team. I'll illustrate it for you, and nobody better take advantage of this and give me a hard time with it. But different schools have different fight songs. Now, the University of Florida's got an annoying one, but it's not the most annoying. The most annoying fight song their band plays is the University of Tennessee. And if you're familiar with college football, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in your head right now. And if you're not careful, if those of you that are like, what is it? What is it? It's like, it goes something like this. We're just a bunch of rednecks and we don't know. No, that's not the words. It's the old song Rocky Top. You know, it's the one they'll play in hell. And for our one Tennessee fan back there, you just have to live with it. But you can't get that song out of your head. Or you'll start singing along with it. You'll be like, what am I doing? You say, oh, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? You can get yourself worked up with music, with an instrument, with all those things, and there'll be no fire there. And you can leave and say, I had an experience. It's emotionalism. So I felt the Spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because you can grieve the Spirit. You can choke the Spirit. You can hinder the Spirit. You can't manufacture spiritual fire. You can't do it with personality. You can't even do it with a production. Why? Because it comes from God. A preacher doesn't have to be bombastic. I've heard a lot of great preachers who are very soft-spoken. They don't move. But there's something that you feel. What is that? That's a fire that came down from God and is planted in that heart and is in that walk and is in that life and is in that study and is in that message. You cannot replicate that. So as a Christian, you need to be reminded, we need to be reminded as a church, that it's God's fire that we are protecting. Don't get enamored by all this hype. Oh, we got the, I won't look for the fire. And that's why you're here. You want that fire. You want what? Why? Because it comes from God. The pastor didn't bring it. The pastor didn't start it. You didn't start it. God did. This is a good reminder for churches watching online tonight. God's the one who plants that church. God's the one who establishes that fire. And we have responsibility to guard it. We understand where the fire comes from. See, because if you forget where the fire came from, you won't guard it. You lose it. You don't realize it. You think it's all on you. See, I want you to feel the fire of God. I want you to feel the Spirit of God. But I can't provide that. Like, you have to be a vessel. I have to be a vessel. But real fire comes from the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Word of God, the holiness of God. That's where real fire comes from. So if we really want the fire of God in our church, and I think we do, It comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from the in your home. If you want the fire of God, you have to make sure the Spirit of God feels welcome. That's why your home can't be like the world's home. It's got to be different if there's going to be that fire there. There's the presence of God, the Word of God. You cannot fake an anointing of God. You can't. You can have the rhetoric, you can give the speeches, you can have the look, you can have the doctrinal statement, but you cannot fake an anointing of God. It is obvious to everybody listening. Healthy churches seek God's presence, not just better presentations. See, one thing that has helped us greatly as a church has been our relocations. I never thought I'd say relocations, but our relocations, giving up to follow the will of God and being content in a tent. Those of you that had church in the tent, those of you that had church in that little building, we had three morning services, you'll testify. God was there. God was in it. And people would say, I'd have pastor friends, they were being a little patronizing and feeling sorry for me. Oh, poor Neil, had to have church in a tent. Buddy, I knew what happened there on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and God was there. No, I think God's here too. And when we relocated again, we'll say, how'd you know God was already there? Well, this was the Methodist church. God was not here. It did have a baptistry. It was about this big. We brought God with us. And you know what? We've been pretty content. There's more that we want. There's buildings we want. There's things that we want. But you know what we have that's the most important to us? It's that fire. It's here. And if we're not careful, we'll not tend to that fire because we're tending to other things. And the most important thing is the fire. And can I help us? I believe in being first class. I believe in having first class materials, and we're going to do that. But the greatest attraction is the fire. Some of you are in this church not because of the building, not because of the location. Some of you drive a long way. Why do you do it? Is it just because of my personality? Well, perhaps. No, that's fire. There's something there. It's alive. And if and you may not have ever said this to yourself, but you know in your mind and your heart, it's not man-made. It's not the pastor. It's not the other people. I love them all, but there's something that has come from God that is there. And we understand where the fire came from. Number three, a healthy church removes the ashes. Look at chapter 6 and verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. See, before adding new wood, the priest removed the old ashes. What were the old ashes? They were yesterday's fire. They were once useful, but now those ashes will smother the new fire. See, this is the case in churches, and we don't want it to happen to us. Churches can collect ashes too. You know, we can collect old habits, old sins, old traditions. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about a Bible tradition. But it's like, what works better for us? Well, we've never had Sunday school that way before. Well, that's just a tradition. And if the day comes when God gives us all the buildings that we need and want on this property, with God as my helper, I intend to still have a Sunday school revolution as we have it. And I know that some think it's sacrilegious, but that's okay. It's the only way we can reach more people. So don't we think that's a good thing, the fire? Oh, this is a good one. What are some of these old ashes? They're old victories. We keep bragging about. Now, I think we ought to brag on God and brag on victories. But a church can talk about the old victories so much that they never have any new victories. I've been here since I was 6 years of age. I've seen a lot of victories. A lot of victories. I don't have time to talk about all of them. But in order to have a new victory, you got to take those ashes out so you have a place to put the wood. And maybe I should take a little bit of time here. I mean, I followed more than 30 years of my father. God used him to build a lot of great things. But if I've done anything right, and to God be the glory, I wasn't in love with the old ashes. I said, there's new victories for us in Jacksonville. And oh, there was a strong pull. We can't leave this behind. We can't turn. We've done all of this. To God be the glory. God used sacrifice, and God used giving, and God used labor, and God used life that was given by many of you to do those things. And those records are in heaven, and those rewards are in heaven, and all the hundreds and thousands of people who got saved. Can I tell you, just because we're somewhere else, they're still saved. And they're still going to be in heaven, and there's going to be rewards for every sacrifice and every labor. But as sure as I am standing here, this church would be dead if we sat in the old ashes and talked about the good old days. Instead of taking out the old ashes and say, let's go find some new wood. It's the same fire. Same fire. But you got to remove the old ashes to make way for the new. Let me give some comfort to that older generation. You've been here as long as I've been here, some of you a little bit longer. That's still, we've seen great victories. We rejoice in that's part of our heritage, part of our history, part of what's laid up in heaven. But God wants new victories. God wants new good old days. And to the younger generations, The ashes are being taken out so that there's room for a new fire. It's not a new fire, but a new day with new wood. But you got to take those old victories. There's a lot of churches talking about the good old days that were 50 years ago. And it's sad. You rejoice and say, that church used to be. And you think about what they did for God, and you rejoice in what they did for God. But it's just ashes. Evidence that the fire was there. But somewhere along the line, and friends, it's a danger for us too. We're not better than any other church. It's a danger for us too to sit around and say, man, look what God's done for us. And rest. Pastor, we had a great year last year. Can't we just rest? That's yesterday's fire. That's evidence of yesterday's fire. There's new people that need to who've been looking for it. And they need to feel it. They need to see it. They need to sense it. I don't know. I don't understand everything that was said, but I know there was something inside of me that I haven't felt anywhere else I've been. What is that? That's the fire. See, if you don't remove the ashes, you suffocate the flame. You and I cannot live on yesterday's revival. You know, and as a healthy church, we've got to regularly clean out bitterness. We have to regularly clean out pride. You know, it's a tendency of man when God blesses them for man to take credit for it. Or let me say it like this, for man to take the part that they contributed, because we do have to contribute time, we do have to contribute talent, we do have to contribute treasure, but that's something God already gave us. It's not like we manufactured it ourselves. God gives it to us, and we just say, God, you can use it, and God takes a lunch and feeds 5,000, and we, did you hear about my lunch? Did you hear about my lunch? Not doing it in the aspect of look what God did with my lunch. Is like, if God didn't have my lunch. Well, honestly, if you didn't offer your lunch, he would just taken the stones and made bread out of it. I'm not minimizing giving and sacrifice. We are called to do that. But we have to be reminded that it's not us, it's the pride. We got to clean that out. That something becomes routine. I'm going to be honest with you. I tweak things along the way because they just get too routine. I probably shouldn't tell you that. Move a order of service now is I want this here and this here. Why? Because we're too routine. So next year, Tuesday night, midweek service. Because Thursday night will be too routine. Now, I don't keep you unbalanced because we need some routine. But you get what I'm saying. It becomes mechanical. It becomes what we've always done. It's become, you know, and sometimes some ministry, they live their life and they just need to die that natural death. And those are old ashes and God used it, but there's got to be that new wood put on there. I've got to move on. Number four, a healthy church adds fresh wood. After we remove the old ashes, that priest is instructed to burn wood on it every morning. This isn't the wood from yesterday's fire. This is the new day. So that wood fuels the fire for that day. Spiritually speaking, that wood represents fresh fuel. What feeds that church's fire? What feeds that fire of God? Fresh time with God does. You know, and I would say to those from the Solid Rock Baptist Church that are watching tonight, you don't have to have a pastor in order for you to have fire. And you got to wait till you have one that has some fire. But just like, well, I got to have somebody else light my fire. No, 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 no. We have to have that fresh time with God. We've had prayer meetings of the past. You have to have fresh prayer meetings. We've had surrender in the past, but you got to have fresh surrender. And can I just say to the young men, can I challenge you? I mean, you know, our nation will put a soldier out there and those kind of things when we need that. And I'm not minimizing those who've sacrificed for our country. But the cause of Christ needs some young men. And let me just get on that for a minute. You're welcome. Because I was a young man sitting in the youth group with dreams and aspirations and the devil whispering in my ear, you could do this and you could do this and you could do this. But at some point I had to surrender. And I don't say that pridefully at all, because everything that is done, it's to God be the glory. But the vessel had to say, okay, God put me here for a reason, so I'll surrender. And I haven't heard this lately, so now's a good time for me to say it, so nobody will think I'm picking on them. But there was a time I was getting a little weary of our young people turning their nose up at being a Christian school teacher. Well, it doesn't pay. Well, can I tell you, because of the scholarship system we have, it pays more now than the teacher who taught you, who taught for free. They taught for free so that you could get an education, so you could learn you didn't come from an amoeba, so that you could learn that God loved you, so you didn't have to get beat up in the hallways of a public school. They taught for free. And it's like, well, it's not big enough for me. Let me just say this, and if you're the man in here and you're married to one of those ladies, you let teach for free, thank you. And some now, I know we're in a better situation because of all of our scholarship and everything, but they don't make what public school teachers make. So there's sacrifices there. So let me say thank you now. But you can read and write because somebody's willing to sacrifice. Well, thank God for those school teachers. Thank God for those school teachers. Thank God that they taught me how to read and write. Too bad for all of you. Where's the fresh wood? Where's the fresh wood? You know, you can only say so many good things about Linda Nelson and Pam Triplett. Like two, and that's then just max. And those, Mrs. Wild sitting down here, she taught me in one of those grades, third grade, fourth, something like that. You can tell how much it meant to me. But when that school started, there's people who made those sacrifices. Or we wouldn't have what we have today. So where's the fresh wood? I'll surrender. I'll be the one to continue it, carry it on. Can I be personal tonight? Is that okay? I don't see Mrs. Nelson. She's not faithful to church, so she lays out. But I see Mrs. Triplett back there, and I think she'd be okay with me saying this. I'm not going to ask her for permission. Those days are gone. I think she gets a little sense of pride seeing one of her students stand up here. I think she gets a little sense of pride in the books. You know, who's going to have the sense of pride one day? 20 years from now, 30 years from now. Who's that going to be? We want to thank God for all of that, but we don't want to be that fresh wood. And I'm not fussing at us tonight. I'm trying to paint a clear picture of how this continues on. Who's gonna be it? Who's gonna do it? I just don't feel called. Why do you have to be called? Why do you have to be drafted? And I thank God for the days in our country when we needed men to step up, and after 9/11, people enlisted. There didn't have to be a draft. Pearl Harbor, people enlisted. We ought to determine that, hey, we're going to keep, well, we gave our special offering. Where's the new wood?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah. We had our big days. Where's the new wood? I mean, none of this is here, so I just feel like God wants, there's got to be somebody willing to say, I'll play that part. We've had that. We've done, there's got to be that. There's that fresh consecration, that fresh obedience. There has to be all of that. It's an every morning thing that priest had to come. See, yesterday's devotion doesn't sustain today's fire. Healthy churches are not coasting on past zeal. Now, I'm naming all those people, and I have to talk about Brother Bland. It's been a while since I've told that Sunday school story. I'm running out of time. You're fortunate tonight. But I was about that same age group, third or fourth grade, so now that I think about it, that's where I got messed up, Victor Bland and Jackie Wiles. That's. I would think he doesn't, I hope he doesn't sit back there and say, I should have quit. Now, if he'd have known, he might have. That's just the goodness of God. But we ought to think this way. Why don't you see the fire burning? There's got to be that new wood. I thank God for that generation that it all got started with. I thank God for them too. But God has taken some of them home, and He's going to take others home. That's just the way it works. So somebody's got to step in and say, okay, I'll be the new wood that goes on the fire. I'll keep it going. I'll do what I can. We know something about that new wood. It gets burned up. Well, but what about my dreams? What about what I want to do? What about with my life? It's consumed so that the fire can stay going. That's just the reality of it. And if this church is going to continue on 10 years from now, 20 years from now, there's got to be church. The church has got to keep being willing to say, I'll put my fire on it. I'll put my wood on it. I'll put my wood. That's why parents, you dedicate your children to God. I don't want you to say put your children on the fire because that just doesn't sound good. But you know what I mean. And let me say this, there's a lot of young people who would have served God or would be serving God if mom and dad hadn't restricted them with their dreams. And you think, sometimes you think it comes from a good heart. Well, I don't want you to have struggles. I don't want you to have anything. You're going to have struggles if you're alive.
That's right.
You might as well be in the will of God, having God meet every need. I'm going to move on now. Everybody okay with that? Number five, a healthy church refuses lukewarm Christianity. Rather reference Romans 12:11. We'll not take time to turn there, but not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. Fervent literally means boiling hot. God never intended the church to be casual, half-hearted, indifferent. That early church was fervent. It was white hot. It prayed fervently, preached boldly, gave sacrificially, loved deeply, served tirelessly. Now, we're not that generation. That generation was asked to sacrifice everything. They sold everything they had. They did everything they had. They were fed to the lions. They were asked to do that. God has not asked us to do that. And I'm not asking us to do that tonight. But I'm just posing the question, will we be willing to do it? For His cause. Those lukewarm churches, they just attend casually, serve occasionally, give when it's comfortable, pray minimally, expect little. Sadly, there's some people, they don't want the fire of God there because it's pressure on them. It requires the wood that I just talked about. It requires a daily So they're comfortable. They expect very little. A fervent church, you show up early, you stay late, you sacrifice gladly, you pray passionately, and expect God to move. Lukewarm is not an option when the fire is there. Let me just give you number six, and I'm out of time. A healthy church understands fire spreads. Fire is contagious. Let me help you. And I appreciate your sacrifice. I appreciate you following the leadership of your pastor on this, but that Preacher's Delight Conference. Why do we invest in that? Why? Because fire spreads. Because when everybody comes here and they get a little fire, and they take it home with them, I can name churches. Pastors, good men, pastors doing what they're supposed to do, but they got a fire here when the first time they came. And I've preached in their churches before the fire and after the fire. And can I tell you there's a difference? And by their mouth, not mine, they'll say, God did something in my heart, in my life. Now, as good as their turnip greens are, it's not the turnip greens. What is it? It's the fire of God. It spreads. It's contagious. See, one burning heart can ignite another, but one cold heart can chill another. A few on fire for God can transform an entire church. And I'm glad we've had since this in the past, had some conversations with just a group, and sadly, there just seems to be this one generation, sadly, just they weren't content and pleased with what God was doing here. It's like, well, there just needs to be something different. Well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you start it? Why don't you get on fire for God? If somebody just says, well, Pastor didn't ask me to go reach a lot of people and bring them to church, but I think I'm just going to do it anyway, I'm not going to be mad at you. Think of the early disciples. They had a fire, and it spread. You heard of the Great Awakenings? Revivals we can talk about through history? There's such a misnomer about, we need a revival in our country, so let's all get together. Revival has never started that way. As a matter of fact, revival, I will say this, and if I'm wrong, I'll own it. I'm not worried about having to own it. As long as we're doing that, we're uniting for the cause of revival, we will never have a revival. There's never been a revival in history which started with the masses getting together. That's just more dead getting with dead. More lukewarm getting with lukewarm. It starts in one heart. It starts in one home. It starts in one church. And then it spreads from there. You can't organize a revival. There's got to be a fire. Where does that fire come from? Well, if we all get together, we can make a fire happen. You can rub those sticks together as long as you want, and you can get a little smoke coming, but that's not the same as the fire of God that's from heaven, that all He says is, I'll take care of the flame. Your job is just to keep it going. So you just keep putting that wood on there, taking the ashes of yesterday out. Putting that wood on there, taking the ashes of yesterday out. I'm the flame. I'm the fire. You don't have to be that. You just keep the wood on, the ashes out. The wood on, the ashes out. That's how revival happens. You want revival in your Sunday school class? How about somebody getting on fire in their Sunday school class? You know, I don't know of a teacher, and the teachers should be working and filling their classrooms, but I don't know of one of our Sunday school teachers who would get upset if somebody in there said, you know what? I have a desire. I have a passion in my heart. I want to reach these people. I want to get them in here, so I'm going to invite and invite and invite, and I'm going to make it my soul and my passion to do it. You might get a revival in that Sunday school class. You can have revival in the teen group. Pastor don't have to. Matter of fact, pastor can't start it. Youth director certainly is not going to start it. But you know who can start it? Some teenagers just said, you know what? We don't know it all. We don't have it all. But I'm thankful that God saved me, and if God will use me, He can use me as a teenager, and I can reach another teenager. And we can pray and see prayers answered. Well, there's just not enough fire in our college like there used to be. It's not my fault. It's not Brother French's fault. If there's not the fire where there once was, check the enrollment of the student body. And I'm not being ugly or unkind. We have great young people. But a revival, that's how a revival takes place. There are more than 100,000 college-age students in colleges and universities within 60 miles of where I'm standing right now. Within an hour, 20-minute drive, there's more than 100, that number's probably larger now than when I researched that. More than 100,000. They're from this city and they're from all over. Say, Pastor, what are we going to do to reach them? Good question. Somebody ought to get a fire in here that says, I'm going to reach my generation. I want to do something to reach them. It spreads. You say, well, not everybody's going to get it. Just find one that will. And I close with just a reminder. I mentioned this last week. A healthy church realizes what is at stake. Because no fire is no sacrifice. No sacrifice, no worship. No worship, no presence. No presence, no blessing. Did you get that? That spiritual application, no fire, no power. No power, no life change. No life change, no impact. Without fire, church becomes religion. I do not want to be part of a religion. I know what we mean when we say that old-time religion is the old-time way, but it's not a we are not part of a religion. What religion are we? I'm not a religion. There's an almighty living God. And He gives us a fire. In conclusion, check the temperature. Say, how many people? And I check the attendance. If I don't have, these ladies will tell you, if I don't have an attendance by a certain time, I'm blowing their phones up. Because I want to know how many came. I'm obviously checking the finances and the budget because I'm coming to you saying, this is where we were short. But can I tell you what I'm checking more than anything else? I'm not just doing this because it's cold outside. You feel the fire? Can you feel it? There are days when I feel like, as a preacher, I've just bombed. Fell flat on my face. There's sometimes the services just feel off. The results aren't what I envisioned. But if I leave and I get comfort, one, if I did what I'm supposed to do, then I'm not worried about it. I have to evaluate me. But I'm saying all that to say, if the fire's still lit, then everything's okay. Everything's okay. So check the temperature. Don't we want a healthy church? I think we understand by now that's not just the pastor's responsibility. So how is your prayers? Are they warm or are they cold? How's the altar? How's the surrender? Is there some ashes? And I know this is a Bible study, but I delivered it more like not a Bible study. Do you have some ashes that you need to take out? You say, well, I just don't feel the same. Maybe those ashes need to be taken. Yesterday's fire needs to be taken out. Set aside so that you got a place to put that wood. And those ashes don't smother that wood so the fire can burn. So let's stay healthy. Let's keep the fire burning. Father, help us.